Well, once again, we are here tonight on the Global Mission Prayer Network. We're teaching, continuing the teaching about spiritual warfare prayers. And what I'm doing with this teaching is I'm giving you some examples of some of the spiritual warfare prayers that I pray, and I'm trying to explain why I pray them and why I pray them that way. And the whole idea is for you to be able to begin to develop your own spiritual warfare prayers and be effective with them, to be effective in pulling down strongholds and pulling down the binding up and pulling down the effects of the enemy. I have prepared some teaching notes on this, and it contains written out all of these prayers, and it's on our website. Matter of fact, the last two teachings are up about spiritual warfare prayers on the website, and then this PDF file, these notes, and you can go to CEC Messiah, CECMESSIAH.org. Go to the Sermons and Blogs section in the navigation pane, and you'll find a whole list of teachings there, and you'll find this stuff up at the top. So let me encourage you, go get the PDF file, print it out, and start looking at some of these prayers, and start developing some of these prayers for yourself. Now, last time, we started off talking about this prayer that I pray against the evil giant crab prince. And this came, if you don't understand it, go back. You got to listen to the teaching, because it came from a vision that the Lord had given me about an evil prince of the enemy that was standing against us and our prayer team, our ministry team that goes out and ministers all over the world, literally. And this the prayer the Lord gave me includes binding him up and stopping certain things from him being able to do certain things to us. And one of the things that I mentioned, and I forgot to kind of explain it, was this concept of kicking up smoke screens. Sometimes the devil will put in our way something that looks like a brick wall or a mountain, and it looks like there's just absolutely no way you can get through it. And yet, if you'll go ahead and push against it, it just disappears. It's a smoke screen. It's not real. As a pilot, one of the things I love to do is fly through the clouds, and you'll be in blue sky and there's a cloud up ahead, and it looks like that cloud is completely solid. But when you fly into it, you just go right through it, and the cloud just separates around you. One time, Debbie and I were going to go to a hospital. I'll try to make this long story very short. We're going to go to a hospital and pray for a young girl that was literally being shredded on the inside by demons. And we were determined to go pray for her this evening. And my car broke down. A wheel literally locked up on my car where I couldn't change the tire. Debbie got a flat tire on her car. She was going to come pick me up. Our cat had all of a sudden, our cat's inside started being shredded just like this demon. And I mean, it was just one thing after another that the enemy was putting in our way, obstacles. And it looked like, Debbie said, it was just like I could see a brick wall in front of me, and the enemy was saying, "You'll never get through this brick wall and get to that girl to pray for her." And she said, "No way, devil, I'm going to go pray for her anyway." She said, as soon as she said that, it was just like that brick wall just disintegrated, just disappeared in front of her. And she was able to come pick me up. We went to the hospital. We prayed for that girl. And man, she was delivered. She hadn't been able to eat for days. She was eating hamburgers that night. So, but anyway, that's the idea of sometimes the enemy, it's part of the lies that he spins for us. He'll put a smoke screen in our way, something that looks solid, but it's not. Okay. Well, then we talked about praying a prayer before ministry, praying cleansing prayer after ministry. And now I want to get to another section where it's kind of, this is like popcorn. Lots of little prayers that we can pray against different kinds of evil spirits and different kinds of situations. And I want to let you know what these prayers are. I want to pray them for you, repeat them for you, and then kind of explain a little bit about why we might do that. Okay? So the first one goes something like this. Father, deliver us from evil. Heard that before? That comes out of the Lord's Prayer. And so I take that and I just added just a little bit to it. Father, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil spirits. Deliver us from evil people. Deliver us from innocent people caught up in evil. And Lord, deliver us from the evil that's in our own hearts. To me, that's an important prayer to pray every single day. The next prayer goes like this. In the name of Jesus, I drive away any evil or unclean spirits from around us, from around our properties, our cars, homes, work, play, schools, animals. I plead the blood of Jesus over all of us as a sign in the Spirit that we are off limits to demonic entities. That prayer I usually pray every day over specifically my family and our parishioners and you, our intercessors. In the name of Jesus, I drive away any evil or unclean spirits from around us, from around our properties, our cars, homes, work, play, school, animals, anything. And I plead the blood of Jesus over all of us as a sign in the Spirit that we are off limits to demonic entities. The next prayer goes like this. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and drive away from us any familiar or ancestral spirits, and I break the connection that they have with us in the spirit realm so that they can't find us. Now, that prayer is not something I necessarily pray every day. I may pray that prayer over someone who's having a difficult time breaking some ancestral curses or ancestral spirits. You know, things get passed down. Fears, ways of behaving, genetic defects, all kinds of things get passed down from past generations. Sometimes our parents or our grandparents will be involved in the occult and we'll end up getting some of the fallout from that. Or there'll be some incest in the family and it'll cause a genetic defect of some kind that gets passed down generation to generation. Those things need to be broken off of us. And they can be broken off of us. We've been very successful watching God work in those areas, breaking off from us genetic defects, any kind of ancestral curses, but also their ancestral attitudes that get passed down. We're poor and proud of it. We always want to be poor. We don't want to have any money. We don't serve God that way. We serve Him in our own way. We don't have to go to church. The man is the supreme ruler of the house, and if he wants to beat his wife, that's okay. Those kind of things get passed down. Those kind of attitudes can get passed down from one generation to the next. And you need to make sure that as the Lord reveals to you that something like that is going on in your life, you break that off of you, you break that off of your family, you break that off of your line, your children, your grandchildren, so that those things can't affect you. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and drive away from us any familiar or ancestral spirits, and I break the connection they may have with us in the spirit realm so that they can't find us. You know, familiar spirits can also attach themselves to us by things that we do. If you start doing something that is not pleasing to the Lord, that opens up a door for an evil spirit to come along and to encourage you to continue, to kind of egg you on in the behavior. This is one of the things that happens with people that get trapped in pornography. Is the evil spirits come, and what happens is as the person is engaged in the pornography, their destructive emotions, their bad emotions are literally, I think, feeding the demons that are around them. And these demons get stronger. They like coming around them. Hey, man, this is fun. I want to eat. Go find some pornography. And so these spirits become familiar to them. They don't see them as evil spirits. They don't think of them as evil spirits. And it can be any kind of addictive behavior, especially. But even when we do things over and over again, you get in, you're subject to angry outbursts, for instance, and you don't want to control it because it feels good to get angry and get back at them and stuff. And so you allow yourself to fall into this evil behavior. And what happens is these evil spirits come along to encourage you to continue that. And they've been around you so long, they've been working with you at this until you don't recognize them as demons anymore. They're just familiar spirits. We need to drive away familiar spirits, sometimes from us, sometimes from family members. As intercessors, the Lord's going to bring to your mind people that have evil familiar spirits around them, evil familiar spirits. They're influencing their behavior. Well, now you know how to pray for them. You bind up those familiar spirits and tell them they got to leave. They can't come back and they got to stay away. And you may have to do that for a while until they get the message they're not going to be allowed to come back. Okay, next prayer. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and drive away any spirits of infirmity or affliction or any spirits that would bring sickness of any kind, and I forbid their operations against us. I drive away any spirits of arthritis, cancer, autoimmune disease, lupus, and I've left some blank spaces there for you. As the Lord shows you to pray for specific things, add that to the prayer. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and drive away any spirits of infirmity or affliction or any spirits that would bring sickness of any kind, and I forbid your operations against us. I drive away any spirits of arthritis, and you can start naming them in, arthritis, cancer, autoimmune disease, etc. Remember the story in the Bible where this woman comes to Jesus and she's bent over double. Matter of fact, I think it happens in a synagogue. I should have gotten that scriptural reference for you. But anyway, you can find the story where this woman is, yes, it's in a synagogue and it's on a Sabbath. I remember the story now. And Jesus comes up to her to heal her. And the Pharisees get all upset. Well, that's healing somebody is work. You can't do that on the Sabbath. And he gets upset with them. He said, this daughter of Abraham that has been tormented by this spirit of affliction these long years, can't she be that? I mean, you'll set your donkey free if it gets tangled up on the Sabbath. Shouldn't she be set free? And she was being bent over double. And this was from a spirit of affliction or a spirit of infirmity or a spirit of disease. Yes, evil spirits can bring sicknesses on us. And there are times we need to bind them up and drive them away from us. And again, since we're dealing with personalities here, we're dealing with individuals. Sometimes what you have to do is you have to drive them away a few times before they get the idea they're not going to be welcome to come back. And so you may end up, if the Lord gives you a prayer like this to pray for specific situations, you may need to pray it over and over again for a while till you see complete victory, till the enemy leaves and doesn't come back. Now, there's another side to demonic activity and sickness, and that is where demons will bring lying spirits that are just symptoms of diseases. They're not actually bringing the disease on the person, but they're giving them sick symptoms. And what they're doing is they're inviting this person to embrace those symptoms and to accept that disease, and then that opens the door for that disease really to come on them. And one of the areas that I've seen this happen in a lot is after praying for someone, they'll be healed, and a day later or a week later or a month later, the symptoms will start coming back. And if they understand, oh, this is an evil spirit that's trying to bring these lying symptoms to me, trying to get me to accept these symptoms, so that I'll accept that sickness back and give up my healing. If they recognize that, they can deal with it. They can drive the evil spirit away, drive that lying spirit away, and maintain, keep their healing. So that prayer might go something like that, like this. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and forbid the operation of any lying spirit that would bring false symptoms, especially for those that we've prayed for healing recently, And for, and then at that point, there are usually some people I have in mind that I'm going to mention. Some of them are hypochondriacs. Some of them seem to have all kinds of sicknesses and issues and seem to allow the enemy to come in and come back with lying symptoms. And so I'll pray over them, these prayers to set them free. And in the name of Jesus, I command these false symptoms to leave. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and forbid the operation of any lying spirit that would bring false symptoms, especially for those that we have prayed healing prayers over recently and for any others that need this. And in the name of Jesus, I command these false symptoms to leave. It's a great prayer to learn, folks. There is a corollary to that. Sometimes demons will bring lying symptoms to us. Sometimes demons will bring lying emotions to us. And we've dealt with this, oh man, many, many times and seen great success dealing with these lying emotions. They're always destructive emotions, and they're emotions like fear, anger, rage, guilt, shame, jealousy, just any number of emotions. Despair, depression, and this is how you know that this is what you're dealing with, is you'll be going about your business and all of a sudden you just feel angry, like I just like to pinch somebody's head off right now. Or you all of a sudden you begin to feel depressed and there's nothing to feel depressed over. Or somebody you know starts having these kind of, they're jealous of their husband and there's no reason for that. It may be that there is a demon bringing lying emotions to them. And so this is the prayer that I pray to deal with that. In the name of Jesus, I bind up and forbid the operation of any lying spirit that would bring false emotions of depression, despair, anger, rage, guilt, shame, jealousy, fear, trauma, PTSD, etc. And again, there's some folks I may pray that prayer over on a fairly regular basis until I see them completely set free. Sometimes I have to pray that prayer over me because the enemy will try to come to me and bring false emotions. And what I've learned is this. He brings those false emotions and somehow it affects our chemistry, our body chemistry. We begin to feel these emotions. And so when I drive him away and I pray that prayer in the name of Jesus, I bind up the spirit of, say, anger or depression, and I command you to leave me in Jesus' name. I know that the spirit leaves right away. He has to be obedient. But I tell you, my body doesn't feel freedom from that right away. It may take another 5 or 10 or 20 minutes for my body chemistry to calm back down for me to understand, okay, now I'm completely set free from that episode. But don't hesitate to go after the demons that are trying to do that, okay? Okay, now, this next series set of prayers is about praying over evil princes. Turn to Daniel 10. We're going to look at verses 12 and 13, and then I'm going to show you this prayer, and I'm going to give you a couple other scriptural references. Daniel 10, verses 12 and through 13 says, "Then he said to me, 'Do not be afraid.'" This is an angel talking to Daniel. He said, "Do not be afraid. For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words." Great, great encouragement to pray, right? "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me." Now, this is an angel talking to Daniel. Do you think it was really one of the human princes of Persia that this angel is talking about? No, he's talking about an evil prince, a demonic force. There's obviously a hierarchy of these things, and some of them are fairly high up in the hierarchy, and they're called princes. So he said, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes," he's talking about a chief prince of heaven now, one of the angels, "came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia." You know, what happened was Daniel starts praying, and we go down to verse 20, by the way, and it says, "Do you understand why I came to you? but I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. So they're talking about all of these princes. As soon as Daniel started praying, a prince from heaven, an angel, came to give him the message. 21 days of battle were from the first prayer that Daniel prayed until the angel shows up. If Daniel had quit praying, I believe that that angel would have lost the battle and would not have been able to come to Daniel with the message. Our prayers literally fuel the angels and their warfare and their efforts in heavenly places. I think our praises literally fuel angels as well. That's a different teaching. Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Here, let me read this prayer to you first before we do Ephesians 6 and verse 12. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the evil princes that have been assigned to Kiambu, to Kenya, Uganda, Charlotte, and any other list. There's a list that the Lord has given me of princes to pray over. They include Ruthrini as well. Don't make fun of how I say that. And from these princes of these places, the princes that have been assigned to our families, our businesses, our churches, against Global Mission Prayer Network. This is one of the prayers that I pray, if not every day, almost every day. And I bind up in the name of Jesus these evil princes, this list of princes. In His name, I forbid your operation against us, and I forbid you from hindering, oppressing, or terrorizing us, the kingdom of God, the people of God, and the children of God. That's the prayer. Now go to Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. From what Daniel told us, from what Paul tells us, there's a hierarchy in the spiritual world. Our struggle is not with human beings around us, but we've been dropped into the middle of this battle that's going on in the heavenlies between these hierarchy, these beings in these, some evil, some not, in spiritual places. And too many people are afraid of the devil, and they want to just ignore him. Others want to fight against evil spirits in their family, maybe in their church, but they go, oh, yeah, but the prince over our area, over our city, oh, he's too powerful. I don't want to have anything to do with him. That's too powerful for ordinary Christians like me. Listen, Jesus gave every single one of us all authority to deal with all the works of the enemy, and if he calls you to deal with the evil princes that have been assigned to your city or your state or your company or whatever it is, you need to be obedient to that. And you need to fight that knowing that you've been given permission to take on these evil princes. I have news for you. You are not some ordinary Christian without authority in the spirit realm. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the temple of the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You're the fullness of Jesus who lives His life in and through you. You're the one who's been given all authority, all power over all the works of the devil. And nothing by any means shall harm you, the Word says. So, put on the whole armor in Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. It talks about the whole armor of God. Use the offensive weapons, the Word of God and prayer that are talked about in 17 or 18. A lot of folks leave that out of our armor, of our preparation for war. The Word of God and prayer are important parts of that. Don't leave that part out. And if God hadn't called you to stand against certain evil princes, then don't worry about it. Don't do it. You know, leave that up to somebody else who has that anointing to do it. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the evil princes that have been assigned to Kiambu, Kenya, Charlotte, the Global Mission Prayer Network, our families, our businesses, our churches, etc. In His name, I forbid your operations against us, and I forbid you from hindering, oppressing, or terrorizing us, the kingdom of God, the people of God, or the children of God. Okay, now, let's talk about praying, binding up the strong man. Turn to Mark chapter 3, verses 22 through 27. Mark chapter 3. I know I got it here somewhere. Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 22. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He, Jesus, is possessed of the devil. He cast out demons by the ruler of demons." And Jesus called him over and he said, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom will not stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, for he is finished. Now listen to this. But no man can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Sometimes we come up against demonic strong men, and we need to bind them up so that we can stop what they're doing. Listen to some examples of these prayers. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the strong man over our churches, and I forbid your operations against us. You can't have our vision, you can't have our people, you can't stop our growth, and you can't stop the miracles from happening in our churches. Because there are strong men that have been assigned our churches. Let's deal with them. Let's bind them up so that they can't affect us. Here's another one. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the strong man over whatever it is, over somebody that's smoking, over somebody, over an area, over a business, whatever it is. I bind up the strong man over that. I forbid your operations against them and command that you cannot prevent them from stopping smoking or from finding their spirit-filled spouse, or you can't have their finances, for instance. In the name of Jesus, I bind up the strong man over a specific family. I forbid your operations against them, and I command that you can't steal away their peace. You can't have their finances. You can't have their mental health. Whatever it is, let the Lord lead you. What is the strong man in their life that's causing trouble for them that needs to be bound up? And so that's three examples of this prayer of binding up the strong man. Anytime the enemy seems to have a stronghold in an area or over somebody's life, bind up that strong man and forbid their operations. Forbid that evil spirit from doing what he wants to. And the strong man, that evil spirit that's been assigned to that family, that person, that situation, he won't be able to continue to cause that to operate, and you'll be able to come plunder his area, and God will be able to take over and do what's right in their lives. By the way, Luke 11, 21 through 22 has a slightly different version of this concept, but I think it's an important concept for us to pray. Okay, well, listen, I think we finished that up tonight. The spiritual warfare prayers, let the Lord lead you in devising your spiritual warfare prayers for your family and for your church and for whatever he wants you to battle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen.